Okay, we are back here on the Dan McDonald Show. Welcome to it. I'm Leah Hansen filling in for Dan McDonald, and it is time for us to welcome aboard for his weekly visit, Howard Levitt, our labor and employment lawyer from Levitt LLP, and happy to have him along this morning. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
I am good. We're going to get right to it this morning. Somebody texted in and said, do private daycare organizations, get away without paying compensation or having compensation for employees?
No, they don't. Of course, employees have to be compensated. There's minimum wage laws in Ontario, $14 an hour. So, and overtime pay over 44 hours work. So no, that applies to everybody, and certainly including daycare facilities.
So that is a responsibility. So if you're in a situation, this person that's texting in, and you need more advice, they can call your firm, by the way. We should let people know at 416-594-3900. I'd like to get that out there. Why not? Thank you
sure,
for that. Somebody
you.
Else, question for the labor lawyer. Can employers say you cannot return to work at our office until we are fully vaccinated? And I know you've talked about this before. I'll let you address this because it's going to continue to be an issue.
Yes, in my view, they can. Now, this assumes the employers are working closely with others. If they have their private offices or otherwise are working from home, of course, it's not an issue. This person didn't ask about working from home or returning to the office. If an employee has to return to an office in a situation where they're going to be working in close proximity to others, the employer can say, we're going to be absolutely safe and require vaccinations. Now, there has to be a point in a revolution where everyone could be vaccinated. If the employee can say, I just can't be vaccinated, that's not an excuse for the employer to terminate them or to lay them off. The employer can say, well, let me find you an appointment. And then the employee has to take the appointment if they want to come back to work. But yes, they can.
Yeah, and that's going to be something that is sticky, as you said. If you have to work close beside somebody else and you don't have a private office, there are a number of different things. But on both sides, you're going to have to, if you're the individual, it looks like you're going to have to try to prove why you can't get vaccinated and what your concerns are. And then on the other side of it, the employer's got to do something else to accommodate you if, in fact, it's been proven that a full vaccination isn't possible. But for the most part, some employment places, some employers are saying, yeah, you got to be vaccinated. We want our staff to be fully vaccinated.
Correct.
All right. Somebody had did say that when they talked about the private daycare situation, they just texted back in about not having compensation. This person said she broke her ankle and the company says there's no compensation. So what do you do then at that point? Do you have to try to seek out some legal advice, or do you go back to the company you work for and say, whoa, wait a minute, what do you mean?
No, a lot of companies are not covered by workers' compensation. That's a fact. And the fact is the employee is better off that way, because then they can sue the employer directly and the courts will award much higher damages than you ever get in WSIB. So that's the recourse. They injure themselves in the course of work or at the work site and the employer was negligent, then they can sue the employer.
Okay. So we get this into...
If there's no workers' compensation. If there's no workers' compensation.
Okay.
Is there a
You know, so here's another question I have for you. At what point do you try to fight some type of issue with your employer? Like, if you're in a situation where you've lost your job or you've been laid off, you're not being recalled back, whether it's because of COVID or any other reason, is there a point where you say, right then, I'm gonna fight this? Or do you have to look at the overall cost associated with trying to fight something like that and your odds of winning in a situation where you say, you know what, you know, don't go to court, don't try to fight something on the principle of the thing, because odds are you're going to lose and you're going to end up broke in the process?
Well, that's what a consultation is for. I mean, our office spends a lot of time just giving consultations to people before we start a case, in which we analyze whether or not they've been paid enough. And I'll say this, 90% of employers don't pay enough because they hope to get away with it. So in most cases, they're likely not have been paid enough. It is worth suing. Now, again, if someone's a 25-year-old minimum wage worker working for a couple of years, the game isn't worth a can of whatever they've been offered. it simply doesn't justify legal fees. But if a person's in a position or has a tenure or has an age that legal fees is justified, almost all of the time employers try and get away without paying as much as they know they have to.
Okay, so again, that's what a consultation's for. So if you have something going on where you feel like you know, you're being taken advantage of, or you're not getting called back, or you're not getting back to the job that you once had, then you have to decide and sit down and have a consultation and figure out where you want to go from that. What are you spending most of your law firm spending most of your issues on right now as it relates to COVID? Is there one or two kind of issues that continue to trend with your staff that you're like, we're swamped with these type of employment labor issues?
Well, certainly the question of being forced back to work and not away from working from home is a huge issue. And employers have that right. Certainly the issue of employers and employees calling for compulsory vaccinations is a big issue. But in terms of where we're spending our time, because those are quick answers to questions, in terms of our time, it's people being laid off and, in our view, unlawfully, and fighting back and saying, employer, you don't have a right to lay me off. And that's true. There's no right to lay an employee off.
What if the company, for example, like, what are the legitimate reasons why somebody can be laid off?
Well, let's not confuse the word layoff from discharge. I'm not talking about discharge. I'm talking about layoff. The only time an employee can be laid off in under the law is if there's a contract in their contract of employment saying they can lay them off, or it's a company with a history of laying people off, or employees are told when they started, we reserve the right to lay you off, which means lay you off, and then when business returns, calling them back. Or seasonal workers, where there's a history, again, of working only seasonally, being laid off, and then coming back in the fall, or whatever the period of time is when they generally come back. That is legitimate legally, but short of that, employees have never been laid off in their lives or in a type of job where they work all year, every year, and suddenly the employer says, business is bad, COVID's hit, we're laying you off. It's a wrongful dismissal. Again, one other exception, if the government orders that company shut down, then that's a legitimate layoff, like restaurants early in the COVID crisis.
Yeah, somebody else texted in and said, you kind of answered my question, but I was working full-time at a small business, and I'm only working part-time hours now. What do I do? Do I have any recourse?
Well, if an employee's full-time, making them part-time is a constructive dismissal. So if they were laid off and they accepted the layoff, that's the problem. Employees have to sue quickly. They can't accept the layoff because if they accept the layoff and months go by, they can't turn around and change their mind and sue. But if they are recalled, they have to be recalled to the same job they had before, which means if it's a full-time job, they have to be called back to work full-time. If not, it's a constructive dismissal, and they can sue if they wish to.
Okay, so again, it's all about the consultation to see whether or not it's going to be worth it for you to do that. We're going to take a quick break and regroup, but if you have a question for our labor and employment lawyer, Howard Levitt, please give us a call at 519-792-2559, or you can text in at 10-800.
Brick by brick by brick, teams compete to build the impossible. Will Arnett hosts Lego Masters, all new Tuesday at 8, only on CTV. Then stream anytime.
Hey, my name is Dan McDonald.
And this is Katie DePierre-Domenico.
And every Sunday at 3:30, we talk all things beauty on the Beauty Academy, right here on AM800.
Hey, this is Steve Bell for Expert Windows, Doors, Roofing, and Siding, the company Lori and I have trusted to do several jobs in our home, including a new front door, new garage, side door, new windows, skylights, eaves, troughs. Mark DePonio's guys do it right. From renovations to new construction, Expert can do it all. They won't promise what they can't deliver. Now, Mike Kaycook also agrees with me as he hired Expert to install his new roof. For more, go to expertexteriors.ca.
Stream AM800 on the iHeartRadio app. Featuring your favorite stations, custom radio, podcasts, and more. Always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today.
We are back with Howard Levitt, our labor and employment lawyer. Howard from Levitt LLP is with us. If you want to find out more about what Howard can do for you, you need a consultation, you can give him a call at 416-594-3900, 416-594-3900. And we're getting another text in, Howard. Somebody says, my job description has changed at work because of COVID. I do have a written job description. Some of my duties have changed. I'm not in favor of some of them. Is that something my employer is allowed to do?
It depends. There's no ironclad job description. You can't say, this is my job, and it can never change. Employers generally can change your job often if they want, like, as long as it's not a demotion or not humiliating. But the fact the person doesn't like the new job, that's not an excuse. Now, an employer can't transfer someone to a job that they're not very good at, but was within their range and therefore not a demotion, and then later fire them because they can't do it very well. If that's the case, the employer should put up their hand right away and say, I don't have those skills. And it'd be much better for you, the employer, if you leave me what I'm doing now. And if the employer then tries to build up a case for cause, that letter in the file will be fatal to the employer's efforts.
Okay. And we have another one here, too, as well, who says, I've been working at a job for several years. Yes, I have called in sick on several occasions, but I don't feel like I've done anything really wrong. My employer terminated me. And I don't know why, per se. Isn't it three strikes, you're out?
Well, it could be one strike. You blow up the building, it's one strike, you're out. You beat up your supervisor, it's one strike. You steal, it's one strike. There's no three strikes, you're out rule. Look, if it's petty little things, it could be 100 strikes, you're still not out. 5 minutes lateness here or there just is inconsequential, unless, of course, you're in a job where it is consequential, like, say, call centers where they program a number of people there because of the number of people that are required to answer the expected calls. So everything is in context. But the real issue is if this person was sick a few times and they have no other reason as to why they might have been fired, this could be a human rights violation, which is the jackpot for them in a wrongful dismissal case. Because it's not only a wrongful dismissal, there's also human rights elements to it. So that's what they should be considering. The employer had better have a very cogent explanation as to why they selected that person for firing. If the whole department was laid off, including them, that's one thing. But if they were sick several times, and all of a sudden they're fired and no one else is, the employer is going to have some serious explaining to do. There's going to be real onus on them to prove there are other good reasons, and the sickness had nothing whatsoever to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's got to be some kind of documentation, right? As you said, if you've punched out a supervisor, okay, that's your one strike. But otherwise, if there are some minor things that have been done and you've been called to task on them, they still not have to have that documented?
If they're arguing cause, if someone's just not a very good employee, the employer may say, I don't want to go through the aggravation of trying to build up a case. I'm just going to fire them and pay them wrongful dismissal damages. But they have to pay them wrongful dismissal damages then.
Okay. Somebody texted and says, Howard, you said if your company requires you to vaccinate to come back to work, if you work closely with others, first of all, isn't that a privacy issue? And also, how closely would you have to be working with others?
Close enough that it's a risk. And is it a privacy issue? Sure. But safety trumps privacy. And people have to understand. I've been hearing over the last few months, as I've said, that the law is that employers can require vaccination as a condition of employment. People cite the Nuremberg Convention, the Human Rights Code, the Charter of Rights. The Charter of Rights do not apply to private employment. This is not a human rights issue. It's a privacy issue, but it's such a de minimis, minor privacy issue, asking someone whether they're vaccinated or not, that it simply gives way to the overwhelming issue of public health.
Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. When it comes to private business, safety trumps privacy. Keep that in mind. Safety trumps privacy. Okay, somebody says this. What about an employer who asked me as a stock person at work to wash his personal car or do errands for them?
I guess that's a function of the job. If the job requires them to do that, to be a bit of a Boy Friday, then that's their job. If it's not part of their job, and it's just a supervisor asking them to do it, they might want to speak to human resources or speak to the owner of the company and say, is this part of my job? But if that is consistent with their job, a lot of employers will use their employees to do personal work, and that, frankly, is between them and Revenue Canada if they don't declare it. And that's between them and the company if they don't declare it to the company. But I'm the owner of my law firm. If I had a secretary do a personal errand for me, that's certainly within my rights to do that. Not that I do. I don't, but I could, because I'm their employer, but, as long as the job isn't demeaning.
And she would have the right to say, is this really part of my job description, or can I get my job description in writing? Can you even ask for that?
She could ask whatever question she wants, but I'm saying that as a matter of law, there are no iron-tight job descriptions. This is not a union agreement where there might be an ironclad job description. She can say, you were hired to be a secretary, and here asking me to take your laundry across the street. She wouldn't have much of a claim to protest doing that if I were to ever ask her to do that.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. As a stock person, you can, if that's you know, just part of working for a small company. For me, I think I might welcome the change of doing that instead of stocking shelves. But hey, that's
exactly.
Just me. Listen, we are out of time. It doesn't take much, and we thank everybody who texted in today. Howard, again, if people are interested, we want them to be able to give you a call. I know you're going to be back with Dan again next week. Have yourself a great weekend. Thank you so much, Howard.
Well, thanks so much, and great speaking to you today. Bye.